Hello and welcome back to another episode of I Know I Sound Crazy. So you guys asked me to talk about the fight between Selena and Hailey, how much of it I think is PR. I know that their fight isn't like super on the forefront of everyone's minds, but it's like crazy watching what this PR is doing. Like they both have makeup brands and the makeup brands are being influenced by a fight in pop culture that I think was mainly fabricated and like we know nothing about. So I just think it's fascinating. I've done a whole episode on it. It's really fucking good, honestly. And I'm going to release it, but I feel like there's a more pressing issue today. I've never done this. I've never like thrown out my whole plan to talk about something that's happening right now. I don't know if you heard the news. Taylor Swift and her boyfriend, Joe Alwyn, broke up. So we've got to talk about it. And I normally, like I said, wouldn't care so much, but this was like one of my first episodes. This was one of my first theories that I went public with of I don't think that she actually tells us when she's in love with somebody. I have like several good examples of that. Carly Kloss being my personal favorite. Diana Agron. I did throw Martin Johnson in there, but like those are not public Taylor Swift romances. Like we don't hear about those. And I just think Joe Alwyn was mainly PR. And I have been like maintaining this stance that I think she's queer. I think she's told us a lot in her music. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. And now, lo and behold, she's broken up with her long-term 6-year boyfriend, Joe Alwyn. And I just think we must discuss it. My dad will probably skip this episode, but that is okay. I don't know though, because he listens to my other Taylor Swift one and he liked it fine. So I want to dive into what I think is going on. And I just figured I had so many requests for PR relationships and I feel bad because I put it to a vote. Hailey and Selena won by a little bit. And I was like, well, I'll do that one first. I'll do PR second. No, I'm so sorry. I'm going to do Joe and Taylor and talk about PR relationships. And this is going to be like an all-encompassing episode. So let's get into it. So first and foremost, you need to know that I think Taylor Swift is queer. Now, I have done a full episode on this, one of the first episodes I've ever done, and I really think that you need to pause this episode and go listen to it if you have not already, because I'm not going to get as in detail as I did the first time. I also did a Midnights album review. That was the album that she released in October. Me and Jacob did a Midnights album review, and I was listening to it the other day, and it's like not a very good album review because basically we're just like laughing the whole time, but it is a funny episode. And I think there were 3 songs on the Midnights album specifically that came across a little gay. I think Taylor is part of the LGBTQ community, and I really have subscribed to this theory since 2019, although I'd heard of it before. 2019 is the year that kind of like did me in and got me fully on board. I think Taylor has dated at least 2 famous women, one of them being Carly Kloss, who's a model, who's now married to a Kushner, and the other one being Diana Agron, who's an actress who used to be married to a man and is now divorced and has come out as queer. Would you look at that? And that's only been like in the last year that she has come out. So Taylor at one point was very close with Diana, and then she wasn't anymore. They don't really associate anymore. And then same thing with Carly. They were best friends and now they're not. Now, friends go through breakups. It happens all the time. I think that's a big part of growing older and specifically maturing is that your group does get smaller. You know, you really start to value the quality of your friendships. So I'm not saying that Taylor's not allowed to have girls that she used to be close with that she's not anymore. And then that means that they broke up. Those 2 just stick out to me specifically because of the fact that Diana is now out of the closet, which, mind you, when I started talking about this theory, Diana was not out of the closet yet. So that's 1 out of the 3 so far. I'm doing pretty okay, the 3rd being Taylor. But this theory really took off of Taylor possibly being queer, part of the LGBTQ community. This theory got some traction in 2014 because Taylor and Carly, BFF besties, went to a concert for the 1975, and there is video footage of the 2 of them that looks like they are making out. Now, it is dark because they are not filming towards the stage where all the lighting is. They're filming, you know, up in the balcony, and it's dark, and the girls are dancing, and it's just kind of like a mess of blonde hair because they're both blonde, so like you can't really see that well, but there's a couple points where it's like they're kissing. And like, that's fine, to each their own. And I'm not even saying that just because you kiss a girlfriend at a concert one time that you're gay. Like, that's not what I mean at all. But it's the way it was handled, because the video is basically scrubbed from the internet. I mean, there's some surviving copies. You can find it, but you really got to dig. If you Google Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss kissing at 1975 concert, you're going to get some articles that say, no, Taylor and Karlie weren't making out. And it basically just gaslights you. These articles all try to convince you that they weren't kissing. They're just best friends. And they were just dancing. And like, you don't know what you saw. And it's crazy because they wouldn't be allowed to write articles like that unless they had the okay from a PR team. So Taylor's team was working overtime. It's also important to note that after that point, Taylor and Karlie's time in the public eye is severely cut. They used to like go to basketball games and stuff together. They were always seen together out in public, lunch dates, just everything. And then it gets really cut and you don't really see much of the two of them out in public anymore. That's kind of an odd response. It almost seemed like they were like trying to hide something. If she had not been kissing Karlie, you'd think nothing would change. And even if she had kissed Karlie and was just like a little drunk and was like, I'm sorry, I was like drunk and goofing off with my friends. I hope I didn't offend anybody. You know, she could have like spun that, and she didn't. And she does address it. She tweets and says, please stop accusing me for my 25th birthday. Please stop accusing me of dating all my friends. Hashtag thirsty. Interesting, because on the Reputation album, she has a song that says, 25 years old, how are you to know? We were dancing with our hands tied. Which is interesting because they were dancing at that concert and she was 25. But what do I know? I think the entire Reputation album is about Karlie Kloss. Like, I don't see how anybody could listen to that and not think that it's about Karlie. Also, all references to daisies, right? I ended up mentioning this on my Instagram stories, and I don't think I even said it on the podcast. So I'm just going to do it now. So they go to Big Sur on this road trip together, and they take all these cute, cuddly pictures, like kissing each other's cheeks and hugging and like draw a heart in the sand of Karlie loves Taylor. And you could do that with your friends, totally. But it felt a little coupley, right? And that combined with the pictures and videos of them kissing, it just kind of seems like, yeah, it kind of seems like you guys were together. And she had a picture of a daisy on her dashboard and tagged Karlie as the daisy. And then in the liner notes of the Reputation album, there's a part where like she had like written out the lyrics and it said, I once was poison ivy, but now I'm your daisy. And she draws a daisy. The daisy that she draws looks just like the daisy that was on the dashboard of the car, because it's a daisy that's like on its side. It's not a daisy that's standing straight up. And then in the Lover album, in the You Need to Calm Down music video, which if you missed it, is a music video of her living in a trailer park for LGBTQ icons. It's like Hayley Kiyoko, who's a singer, and the Fab Five from Queer Eye. And it's just a bunch of like LGBTQ people. And she's living in the community with them. She's not, you know, outside of the community. She's living in there with them. And there's people protesting in the trailer park holding up signs that are like, being gay is wrong. And she's laying with all of the famous gay people. Like, she's laying on lawn chairs with them. Kind of seems like she's inserting herself in that situation. Well, in that music video, where she also, you know, sings the line, shade never made anybody less gay, she makes herself a cocktail. In the cocktail glass is a fucking daisy. It's just like, for somebody who is so in tune with Easter eggs, and she talks about it herself, like, I love giving Easter eggs. I love putting little hints and clues and everything. If you don't want people to perpetuate this rumor that you maybe dated Karlie Kloss, just stop doing that. Like, we don't need daisies in any of the content. Nobody's asking you for that. And yet she continues to do it. So summer of 2019, it's the Lover era. She releases the Lover album. The front cover is blue and pink and purple, which are the colors of the bisexual flag. Her hair in the You Need to Calm Down music video is blue and pink and purple. And she sings at Pride. She is like fully immersed in gay culture that summer. but she's making it look like she's doing it because she has this song that's like a gay pride song. So because of that, she wants to like be at all the gay pride stuff. At some point, I think people would be annoyed about that. Like, if you're a straight girl and you're inserting yourself into all of these situations where you just like want to be a part of things, that's awesome. But like, maybe there's a gay person who could stand up there and do it. Like, maybe it doesn't need to be a straight person. And I'm like, not even like that. Like, I very rarely am like, oh, like, are you taking up space for somebody else? I'm just like, everyone just do what the fuck you want. Leave me alone. But at that point, it's like, why is she the spokesperson for this if she's not gay? Do you see what I'm saying? So she wears all rainbow stuff all summer. Again, everyone's like, oh, it's just because she's promoting the album. The Miss Americana documentary comes out where she says, I want this music video for the Me music video. I want it to be everything that makes me me. And she names all these things that she loves and mentions gay pride. All the things that makes me me, gay pride. I am an ally to my core. I wouldn't say gay pride makes me me. And this is probably a little bit of a refresher for some of you who listened to the old episode, but I do think a few more things have happened since then which are worth mentioning. So Christian Serrano makes this gown, this big rainbow colored ball gown, and Billy Porter ends up wearing it to Pride. Billy Porter is a black man. There is a panel on the dress that is flesh colored. Now, it looked really good on him, but if we were doing a flesh colored panel and he's a black man, you'd think that that panel on the dress would be matching his skin color, and it doesn't. So somebody makes a TikTok like, oh my God, I think that the dress was supposed to be for Taylor Swift. I just got it from a source. The nude colored panel was to match her skin. Christian Serrano stitches the video on TikTok, which means you can now see him on a split screen on the other side of the video. And he just sips tea, like literally out of a teacup, like just like sips the tea while the other person says that. This video gets scrubbed from the fucking internet. You probably never saw it because her team didn't want you to. So I thought that was interesting. Also, it had been confirmed that Christian Serrano was working on something for her. I did not say any of this last episode because I didn't know about it. It didn't come out until, like, this was in the last year that this has come out. So I've been, like, chomping at the bits to talk about this. It's also interesting sometimes to tell you guys stuff because, like, some things I think are better if you can just see it for yourself, right? Like a visual aid, which is why I'm going to plug my Instagram account. I know I sound crazy on Instagram. I, like, post stories that correlate with the episodes, but... And I'll post pictures of the dress and you can look and make a decision for yourself. But there is a Entertainment Tonight reporter named Katie Morton. And she tweeted, Christian Serrano tells me he is working on something for Taylor Swift, but he won't say what. And this was in April 2019. Also worth mentioning that she releases her first single off the album, Me. And the way that that gets announced, they tweet Me out now. Guess what day it was? You'll never guess. Lesbian Visibility Day. Me out now on Lesbian Visibility Day. Again, could be nothing, but like if these rumors are really bothering you, let's just not do that. Release it tomorrow. Like you don't have to release it today. Do you know what I mean? So that's some new info wanted to share, but basically everything in my opinion from Reputation on has been pretty wrapped up in Carly. And this isn't just like me trying to make it fit a narrative. And you know, I'll say it when it's like, I'm twisting this because I like it's confirmation bias. Like I want this to, you know, match up with my narrative, but everything that's gone on with the Lover album and then Folklore had several songs that were, you know, sounding like she was singing about a woman. The one that comes to mind is the song Betty, which is about a woman named Betty. And she says that she wrote it from the male perspective. But it's so interesting because she mentions someone named James and someone named Inez. Those are the names of Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds' children. And they're both girls. James is a girl. So that's just a little bit interesting. Again, it's just like, why didn't she make it Alan? Like from the perspective of Alan, there's really no room for that to be like misinterpreted. Alan singing about Betty, and she didn't do that. And also probably could have picked a different name because Betty is a nickname for Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is Carly Claus's middle name. She's Carly Elizabeth Claus. Also doesn't help that Lavender Haze, which is a song off of the Midnights album, she said is directly inspired from a line that she heard in Mad Men. I went and watched the clip. John Hamm says, I met a girl. And the other girl's like, oh, look at you. You're in the Lavender Haze. And John Hamm says, I met a girl. Her name is Betty. She's a model. Carly's a model. Carly's middle name is Elizabeth. We already have a song called Betty. It's just like, she's not really doing a good job if she's trying to beat these gay allegations. You know what I mean? On the album Evermore, there's a song called Ivy, which is a song about like being in love with someone else while she's married, like trapped in like a loveless marriage. And it's kind of gay. I mean, you could say that she's singing about another man, but it really feels kind of gay. And then some more information that I have stumbled upon is they actually play the song at the end of a lesbian scene in the show Dickinson, which is about Emily Dickinson, who was a lesbian. And in the scene of her and her lover, the screen goes black and they start playing Ivy by Taylor Swift. And Taylor's team had to sign off on that because, as you know, you can't just like take her songs. And Hailey was like, I'm really excited about it because Hailey's friends with Taylor Swift in real life. And she was like, I'm really excited about this song. Like, I think it's so important to the scene. Again, we're never going to beat these gay allegations. So another piece of information that I forgot to mention, I don't know how I did. Folklore was released on the day that Carly Claus announced her engagement. It's like 2 years to the day after she announces her engagement. That's when Taylor releases Folklore. Also on the Evermore album, there's a song called Right Where You Left Me. It's a bonus track, so maybe not as many people know it. Very good. You should go listen to it. She says, I'm right where you left me. I'm still 23. Like, basically, I'm frozen in time. Well, she was 23 when she was with Carly. Like, she never knew Joe at 23. And she says, glass shattered on the white cloth. Everybody moved on. I'm still there. Like, I'm still frozen in time. Well, I mean, I guess you could say she like knocked over a glass at the table, but you also could say glass shattered on the white cloth because Carly and her husband had a Jewish wedding because Josh Kushner is Jewish and they had a traditional Jewish ceremony. I get messages very often of people saying, well, why hasn't she come out? Why wouldn't she? It's 2023. And to that, I will say, first of all, and I mean this very respectfully, I don't think it's fair for us to say it would be so easy for her to come out because we don't know what that would be like. If you are part of the LGBTQ community, obviously you have a way better understanding of that than me. You would know what it's like. But for the average person, the average straight person, we don't know what that would be like because, I mean, that's a big part of who you are. And that's got to be so scary. And imagine being 33 and the biggest pop star in the world and trying to come out and say, I know I've been a country star since I was 16 and I wrote all these songs about boys and I built an empire on songs specifically about boys, but I also like women and I did also date Carly and I did also date Diana. Like, that would be so scary. I'm not saying people wouldn't be receptive, but that's a big fucking deal. And that's her being so famous on top of it. I think just coming out in general is a challenging thing. I obviously can't speak to that personally. I've watched loved ones go through it, but like, I haven't had to do it. I haven't had to be the one to speak up. So I don't think we can say like it'd be so easy. On the flip side of that, I don't want it to be like, okay, I'm being hypocritical because I'm over here outing her. I don't think I'm outing her. I think she's put the information out there. For a woman who loves her Easter eggs, she does know what she's doing at this point. Either she's just like really stupid, she has a terrible PR team, or she's queer. Well, she's not stupid and she doesn't have a bad PR team, so she's queer. So letting all these magazines run your story of your breakup, like there was no story when she broke up with Carly, but there's a million stories now that she broke up with Joe. That's usually a pretty good way to spot PR. Now, I'm sure there's people out there that's like, well, she didn't date Carly. If you are choosing to be blind to this, go right ahead. But there's a lot of evidence, and I suggest you just dive down that rabbit hole when you have a chance. But we forget Elton John married a woman. Hayley Kiyoko and Becca Tilly were best friends to the general public, and they were dating for 4 years. And people in LA knew, like, people knew this, but it never hit mainstream because they had good PR teams. I'm worried you can hear my AC unit. I'll turn it off. Anyway, let's talk about Joe. So Joe is an actor. He has been in a decent amount of stuff, and he's been in some good projects. Like, he was in The Favorite, which Olivia Colman won an Oscar for that. So that's a pretty big deal. And he is from the UK, and he obviously doesn't really have ties to New York City. So I think that's confusing that she's made references to New York City in 4 albums at this point. I don't think there were any references to New York on Evermore, but the other 4 were references to New York. And I mean, Joe's from London. She does have a song called London Boy, but the whole song kind of feels like satirical almost. That's my opinion. You can go listen to it and tell me what you think. Like, all the other ones are like beautiful, well thought out love songs. And then London Boy's like, I guess all the rumors are true. You know, I love a London boy. Like, okay, whatever. Joe is decently talented. My alarms went off when I saw that he was getting writing credits for the album Folklore. So basically what happened is they put out the album Folklore during quarantine, and there is a person named William Bowery listed as a writer on a couple of the songs. That's not a real person. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there named that, but like, it's not a songwriter. So the deranged fans decide that William Bowery is Joe. It makes no sense. There's no evidence that it's Joe, but everyone decides that. Taylor is pretty active on TikTok. She always adjusts really well. It was MySpace, and then it was Tumblr, and like, that's where like the fandom was hanging out, and now it's TikTok, and she's very like with it, and she sees the rumors. She sees all the TikToks, which is interesting because she's liked TikToks from accounts that are like big Gaylor accounts. Why would you do that if it was so offensive? Whatever. Anyway, they have decided that it was Joe, and Taylor does this special recording of the Folklore album called like the Long Pond Sessions, which was like an acoustic set, and it was on Disney Plus. And she goes in the interview portion. So William Bowery's Joe, everybody figured it out. Jack Antonoff is sitting there, who, you know, she writes all of her songs with, and Aaron Dessner, she writes all of her songs with them. These guys act like they've never fucking heard of him. They act confused. They act like they don't know what's going on. Like, they're just trying to roll with the punches of the interview, but they don't really know what she's talking about. I don't feel like that's how you'd act. Like, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, I wrote this with Joe. And they'd be like, oh my God, yeah, he's the best. Like, he's such a great songwriter. They just acted oblivious and confused. And let's not forget that Jack Antonoff accidentally almost outed Taylor on a radio show when he said, I like working with women, specifically gay women, when they were talking about him working with Taylor Swift. And the guy doing the interview goes, wait, is she gay? And he goes, no, but Tegan and Sarah are, and I work with them a lot. Like, good save, buddy. Anyway, these guys look confused when she's talking about it. And she says that, like, Joe was sitting and writing during quarantine, like playing the piano, and she thought it was really good and wanted to write songs with him. So basically that's how he ended up being a songwriter on the album. Fine. Grammy nominations come out. They win Album of the Year. That means that now Joe Alwyn is a Grammy award-winning artist. You know what's interesting? They never changed his name to Joe Alwyn. It has always stayed William Bowery. So who won the Grammy? That doesn't really make sense, and that's typically not how they do things. Like, there was a whole thing about this with Beyoncé. So on the song Brown Skin Girl, Blue Ivy is on that song, and they had to go back and give her credit because you can't have somebody not listed or listed improperly. That's not fair when it goes up for Grammy nominations. So Blue Ivy is listed as a Grammy Award winner because they went back and added her and gave her credit. What's going on with that with Joe? If he wants the Grammy so bad, why would they not have changed it? What's even weirder is like when Evermore came out, they didn't change it to Joe Alwyn. It's still William Bowery. So he is listed on writing several other songs. And then the same thing happens with the Midnights album. Once again, it's listed as William Bowery as a writer on the song Sweet Nothings. So I just think that right there should show you guys that something is up. Why are we bending the rules? I get that she's Taylor Swift, but that's not how the industry works. Like, that's not how they do things. That's not how the Grammys work. So I think it's like a combination of Joe wants an EGOT, and that was his way to get a Grammy. And it's a mutually beneficial relationship. Are they both getting something out of it? Yes. Now, am I saying that they didn't grow to care for each other? No. I don't know. Like, maybe they did end up really caring about each other and it actually being a real relationship. But that part feels very transactional, if you will. Like, you give me a boyfriend for the public eye, I give you a Grammy. That just right there feels like proof that something about the situation was off. We've also never heard him perform. People have asked him about it and he's like, no. So like, apparently he's this amazing piano player and writer and singer, but like, we've never seen him put together anything. He's never done it. And I do think it helps that interviews for this were happening over Zoom because it was still quarantine. So there's never been any sort of accountability for, can you actually play? Can you actually perform? I'm not saying that he didn't help. Maybe he did. I'm just saying that situation was weird. So I think another reason that Taylor has not come out is it's not just her. This would affect Joe. This would affect Carly. This would affect Diana Agron. This would affect all of her ex-boyfriends, Harry Styles, Jake Gyllenhaal, John Mayer. Were you in a contractual relationship with somebody? Was this real? Were you actually together? Was this just to do something for your image? It would make people dissect every man that she's ever been linked to. And honestly, probably every woman that she's been linked to. So I get that the more she waits, like, the bigger of a thing this becomes. And I understand why she hasn't moved forward with coming out as queer. But I do think a lot of what we see surrounding Taylor is a PR stunt. And that's a really hard concept for people to grasp because people are like, no, she's so authentic. She shares with us. And it's like, you see what she wants you to see. And at the end of the day, we don't know these people and we have to keep that in mind. So also, no one ever talks about this, but she was linked to a Kennedy for a while and she was in her 20s and he was 18. And like, I mean, I guess that's a legal adult, but he's a teenager and he was still in high school and she was like 23 at that point. So it's like people would rather her be painted borderline kind of predatory. And I mean, that's a power dynamic for sure, right? Like, a woman in her 20s who's really famous going after a high schooler, and people would rather her be painted as that than possibly queer. It's really bizarre. So I think that Joe and Taylor started as PR 100%. Whether they ended as PR, I don't know, but 100% that started as PR. They needed something to distract. In my opinion, PR relationships happen for a couple reasons. So I think a big one is to distract. And look here, not there works all the time. Companies are doing that all the time. It's not just Taylor Swift and her PR team. A really good example of this, in my opinion, is Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian. Astroworld had just happened. The world was losing their minds over this. The media was not really covering it because the media is bought and paid for. You know that. And Kris Jenner has a lot of them in her pocket. So they listen because they're scared of people with money and power and a lot of pull, which Kris Jenner has. So no one was really talking about it, but we the people found out about it because of TikTok. And word was spreading like wildfire. People were turning their back on Travis Scott. And right after that, what do you know? Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson are dating. Like, are we fucking dumb? So basically what happened is Travis Scott, who is Kylie Jenner's partner, it's the father of her children, he's a musician and he puts on this music festival called Astroworld, and 10 people in the audience die of compression asphyxia. Basically means that they suffocate to death. So you can see an ambulance in the background of one of Kylie Jenner's Snapchat videos of the night, and people were begging him to stop the concert because people were dying and he didn't. So he's currently facing a lawsuit. Astroworld's been shut down permanently. I have never seen a scandal handled so poorly. So what do? Turn to a PR relationship. That storyline was scrubbed from the Kardashians show on Hulu. They planted a fake story that Kendall was in Miami. And the timeline that they were saying she was in Miami was fake. She wasn't there. She was at Astroworld. And there's evidence of her being there. So the Kardashians are like masters of trying to distract. They do this all the time. I think that's an amazing example right there of what a PR relationship can do for the press that you or your family is getting. But I also think this is a very good example of a mutually beneficial PR relationship. So Pete wanted notoriety. This happens all the time. Like, this was a good deal for him. Obviously, the relationship did not make sense on paper, but it skyrocketed his career. Like, there is no question about it. He got to go to the Met Gala. You think Pete Davidson would have been at the Met Gala 2 years ago? Come on, no way. And then Kim got a rebrand. So I don't know if you've noticed, I've talked about this a little bit on my Instagram story, but it's hard to talk about it eloquently. I'm very mindful of speaking about anybody else's body because at the end of the day, someone's relationship with their body is none of my business. So I'm going to be very gentle in the way that I talk about this, but it's a trend that I'm noticing in society and I think it's worth bringing up. So we are in an era slowly creeping back into heroin chic. If you do not know what that is, it's based on the way that you look when you are using heroin. Very, very thin body, sunken in face, like sunken in cheekbones, hollowed out under your eyes, dark circles under your eyes. And there was a male component to it. It's very interesting, but it was like the rocker boyfriend that was like definitely partying really hard and on drugs. So it eventually made its way out of the current trend cycle. And we ushered in a wave of the Brazilian butt lift and all of the plastic surgery and huge lips. And I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. It's just crazy that we went from like sunken in features, itty bitty bodies to implants and injections and everything being like puffy, like specifically targeted towards women. Like women's bodies are a trend that you can pick up, try on, and just change in and out of season. Like women's bodies are not a pair of shoes. You can't just like go pick up a new one when these don't work for you anymore. It's your fucking body. And when it comes to women who influence beauty trends in America specifically, but all over the world, the Kardashians are at the top of that list. Like them or not, they have major influence, major pull. Some of the most followed people on Instagram. They have fashion lines, makeup lines. They have pull. They have say. And they're the ones who really pioneered the Brazilian butt lift injections. Like they ushered all of that in. I'm not saying it was just them and that that's only their fault. And it's sad that they feel like they have to keep up with whatever current beauty trend is happening so that they can stay relevant. Like that's sad to me. I can see that the system is at fault and that it's not just those five women, but I will say that they influenced it heavily. We then moved into the era of heroin chic. We have welcomed that era back in. So all the Kardashians have got their Brazilian butt lifts dissolved and they're starting to get filler dissolved and leaning heavily into the role got herself a heroin chic boyfriend. So the 90s had like Tommy Lee, you know, Motley Crue. And then now we have Machine Gun Kelly. We have Travis Barker and we have Pete Davidson. So Kim Kardashian picked herself out a man who fit the heroin chic vibe, got her Brazilian butt lift reversed. And now she is trying to once again rebrand. to keep up with what is currently happening in the world. This is how she's going to stay relevant. This is my opinion, but I think a lot of people go in PR relationships in order to rebrand. A good example of this would be Taylor Swift was photographed with Maddie Healy a few times during the Reputation era because they wanted to roughen up her image a little bit. They never dated, but the media wanted you to think that they did. Also funny that he's the lead singer of the 1975 and that is the concert that Taylor and Carly got caught kissing at. But the media picked that up and started running with these rumors that maybe Maddie Healy and Taylor Swift were dating and they 100% were not together. Also keep in mind, Taylor is never photographed unless she wants to be, and she's proven this time and time again. So a rebrand, obviously the other example is the one I just used of Kim being able to completely rebrand by dating Pete Davidson. And then another would be to promote. So think like when you're watching a movie and the main couple is a couple in real life. I mean, sometimes it's probably real, but I would say it feels kind of coincidental that everybody that's played Spider-Man and everyone that's played Mary Jane in the last 20 years ends up publicly dating. Isn't that kind of weird? Not to say they were all fake. Honestly, I think Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield really were in love. But ain't it wild that everybody that played those two main characters has ended up dating? A couple that I kind of go back and forth on is Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens, because they stopped dating after the last High School Musical movie came out. And so, like, not to say that they couldn't have actually fallen for each other, but that just feels like kind of suspicious timing. And I think what's a way to make teenage girls go wild is to have them like, oh my God, they're dating in real life. Like, it's kind of the oldest trick in the fucking book. Another one that I'm not sure about, but I think was fake, was Shailene Woodley and Theo James. They were in the Divergent movies, which I like always want to talk about those because they didn't finish the franchise. Does anybody realize that? They did not finish the franchise for the Divergent movies. They split the last book. It was three books, just like Hunger Games. They split the last book into two movies, just like Hunger Games, because everyone's fucking greedy and wants more money. I really think you can only do that if you have like something really plot heavy, really meaty, and like it's not all going to fit in a 2 to 3 hour movie. Harry Potter is the best example. They were the blueprint. They were like the first one to really do that. And so because of that, every other franchise was like, we're going to do it too. And it cost them the franchise because they had people start to get famous and not want to continue to do the movies. Miles Teller was in those movies and they kept pushing it back. And then they were like, we're going to do a TV movie, and nobody wanted to do a TV movie. So it never finished. Isn't that such a disappointment? So if you watch Divergent 3 part 1, you're left on a cliffhanger and you never know what's going to happen because the movie never got made. Anyway, Theo James and Shailene Woodley were dating. There are a million examples like this. I'm sure you're going to start seeing them in your average life. But working on a project together is pretty much a dead giveaway when they're like, oh yeah, we fell in love on set. Did you? Did you? I'm sure some of you do, but all of you? Another reason for PR relationships is hiding. So hiding something about your life that we're not supposed to know. I think a good example of this is when someone has some sort of scandal or some sort of drug problem that they want to bury. This is different than distract, because in my mind, distract is the information's already out. Astroworld was out. Pete and Kim dating is going to distract from that scandal, because unfortunately, a lot of people are still slaves to media and they don't understand how this works. So they don't understand that they're being fed these stories. And that to me is distraction. Hiding would be like Selena Gomez has gone to rehab 3 times. I know she talked about it a little bit in her documentary that she battled drug use a little bit, but I don't think that's really common knowledge. Like, I don't think that would just come up in the average conversation, because she has really turned her life around and her PR team was amazing and hit it really well when it was happening. And one of the relationships that popped up around the time that she was battling drug addiction was allegedly her and Orlando Bloom. I don't think they really dated. I just think it's hiding what's actually going on. You know, it wasn't common knowledge that she was going to go to rehab. So what else can we have the media talking about? How do we hide this? Oh, she's dating somebody. I could be wrong, but I don't think that I am. And also, make no mistake, this is not me in any way making fun of her or making light of that. I think it's amazing that she got help. I think that's one of the bravest things anybody could do is ask for help. So I think it's amazing that she went and got clean. I just think it would have kind of fucked with her image at the time. She was still pretty young. I mean, she was like early 20s. Her PR team was on top of it and the story didn't break. And people talked about her allegedly being with Orlando Bloom because they were pictured together like one time. Again, you know my rule. What do I always say? Celebrities get photographed because they want to get photographed. I'm not talking like an awful iPhone shot of freaking Selena Gomez in a CVS. I'm talking about strategic pictures of couples together out in public. Like, hanging out your house is free. You can do that. You can hang out at your house. You can go to a friend's house. Also in LA, it is so common to see famous people. Same thing for New York. A lot of people just don't fucking care. Like, yeah, tourists might, but like the average person doesn't care. I've seen this with my own eyes. Like, people getting annoyed because Bella and Gigi Hadid are blocking the door and they're trying to go get brunch and they're being blocked by the supermodels and they're aggravated. Like, I've seen this with my own eyes. So I use that to support my theory of, you know, celebrities are photographed when they want to be photographed. A celebrity out having a casual lunch, going to the drugstore, like, the average person doesn't give a fuck. You're probably not going to get photographed. Maybe a couple iPhone pictures, but not like what gets shoved down all of our throats by E! News, People, TMZ. Like, those publications are bought and paid for. They're working with the celebrities. They're working with the celebrities' teams, and they know what they should publish, when they should publish it. And the paparazzi gets called to certain locations. They get the picture, and bam, now we have evidence that this person and this person are actually dating. The last example that I'm going to use is to stay relevant. So think about somebody who maybe hasn't had a good album in a few years, or maybe their last several movies have tanked, or they're just not getting work. What's something that you can do to make yourself relevant again? Hitch your wagon to somebody who's super relevant. A very good example of this, in my opinion, is, well, I have a couple. Julia Fox. So I've talked about her before. I talked about her on the yachting episode. I think that she was a yacht girl. There's a lot of hard evidence that she was a yacht girl. The blinds say that she like auditioned to be Kanye West's girlfriend and she won. That put her on the map. I would say a year and a half ago, she was not a household name. You would maybe Google her and be like, oh yeah, I liked her in Uncut Gems. She was not a household name at all. And now she is. Now you could argue, yes, this is also how yachting works. And I really do think that she has been involved in yachting. But she was publicly linked to Kanye West. That's a huge name. That's going to blow you up. Like, December of 2021, she was tweeting that her ex-husband wasn't paying child support and that she was broke. And by spring of 2022, she was viral for that Uncut Gems soundbite from the Call Her Daddy podcast. And she's been at every fashion show, front row, and she is really relevant now. Did a complete 180 of on Twitter saying, my ex-husband's not paying child support, to front row at Milan Fashion Week. I mean, can't make that any more clear. That was a PR stunt. The whole thing was a PR stunt. Another example of someone who uses PR relationships in order to stay relevant is Emily Ratajkowski. Now, I have talked about Emily Ratajkowski before. Actually, on the yachting episode, I quoted her. So Emily wrote a book called My Body about her experience as a model in a very male-run industry and what that looked like for her and the ways that she felt exploited. I think a lot of what she said in that book is so true, and I agree with a lot of it. People kind of have an issue with her because she complains about
the system in place that values beauty and that she has made a profit just from being pretty and being a model. And that bothers her. And she specifically talked about the yachting industry, and she actually outs another celebrity for yachting within that book, and then gets a podcast where she talks about feminism. And she actually has some good conversations on that podcast, but then proceeds to turn around and post nudes on her Instagram. Now, she's a grown up. She is a legal adult. She can do whatever she wants. But I understand why people are confused about that message and the flip-flopping. And like, you can't fault somebody for making their money because they're pretty. If that's how you make your money, girl, do it. Like, no one's mad at you for it. But she's trying to be like the voice of this movement while simultaneously still profiting from it. And a lot of people are angry. They think that she's flip-flopping and that it's very inauthentic. I also think it's just a lot of overexposure. She was the blueprint for the Instagram model. She was posting nudes before anybody else was using Instagram like that. She changed the way that we use social media platforms, like she did with posting naked pictures when we were all posting like overly edited VSCO cam pictures. So, I mean, I think that that's just why people have a hard time with her. She's profited off of this and then is bashing it, but then continues to profit off of this. It's not like she's left the industry and is fully a podcaster now. Does that warrant the need for a PR relationship? I don't know. I also think the world's a stage. I think half of what we see is extremely fabricated. We find out about stuff when they want us to find out about stuff. So it's like PR stunts half the time to me feel like a show on top of a show. Does that make sense? Like there's already a show going on. It's not working. Now I got to throw some extra spice in there. Like that's what PR relationships feel like to me. But those reasons that I listed are why she is not very well liked. Do I agree with it? I think people are chronically online and need to go outside and touch some grass and maybe schedule a therapy session. So I'm not trying to, you know, say that I think this dislike of her is warranted, but it's not working for her right now. Like she's having a hard time staying relevant. So what do? PR relationship. So she has been in and out of PR relationships since she announced the divorce from her husband, which was in 2022. I can think of three off the top of my head. So the first one was Pete Davidson. I posted about that one on my Instagram story. It was immediately after his breakup with Kim Kardashian. This is how to spot a PR relationship 101. And then the second was Eric Andre. He's a comedian and no one bought that. And then the third one is current, and that's now Mr. Harry Styles. So Pete Davidson, the media immediately picked up. E! News ran with it, Entertainment Tonight, all of the news outlets were running with it. Why? Because they were sent this story directly from Pete and Emily's publicists. That's how this works. Like people don't want to acknowledge that that's how this works. I saw it with Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn. People were commenting being like, until one of them confirms it, I'm not going to believe it. What are you talking about? This has just shown me how many people do not understand public relations. Like you have somebody in between you and the media. Taylor's not calling up these publications herself, but Taylor's also not going to like get on Instagram Live and be like, I'll do a full Q&A if you guys want to ask me questions about my breakup. Like she's not going to release a statement. If she was, you know, canceling tour dates, she would release a statement. If she was getting divorced, she would probably release a statement. Although people get quietly divorced, that happens too. Taylor's parents. Taylor Swift's parents have not been married for years and no media ever picked it up. Why do you think that is? Because media wasn't supposed to pick that up. People were told, don't talk about that. So they didn't do it. Anyway, back to Emily. Damn, I've been all over the place. So Emily and Pete, you know, their romance is everywhere. There's pictures of them courtside at a basketball game in New York City. That right there, alarm should be going off. Like they're going somewhere where they know that they're going to get photographed. A ton of people are going to see them. Most people have smartphones. You can take pictures and videos of them. When it starts getting out, like, oh, I heard Pete and Emily are together, people will be like, oh my God, my friend was at that basketball game and she saw them. Like, look at these pictures. That's how this works. They want you to do the work for them. Remember, we are at the bottom of the pyramid. It really is all connected. We do the work for them. Stop doing it. I used to work at a brunch place in Soho, and Pete Davidson came in with Kaya Gerber. I couldn't tell that it was him because he had sunglasses on inside and his hoodie was like around his face. And he came in into the host stand and was like, hey, I have a table for two for Pete. And I was like, I don't see it. What's the last name? And he was like, Davidson. And I looked up and I was like, okay, it looks stupid. I'm just going to keep it rolling. So I take them to their table. I come back down to the host stand and I tell my boss, I just want you to know this is going to be probably sold to the news outlets by this afternoon, because this was like the first time they were spotted out together publicly. And sure enough, my boss comes back that afternoon and she was like, you were right, here it is. And it was the front page of Yahoo News. Like, that's actually that big of a fucking deal. But that's how this works, you guys. So Pete and Emily being at a basketball game where they know people are going to see them, they know what they're doing and they're not like hiding, okay? And then every news outlet is like, oh my God, hot new couple alert. And then there was footage from TMZ. Pete allegedly goes to pick up Emily in New York. You see him in the front seat, the paparazzi get their picture. The camera turns to Emily. She's standing on the sidewalk waiting for her cue. She realizes that the camera is on her. She starts walking. She walks around the back of the car, like kind of covers her face a little bit, and then walks back to her apartment. Pete drives away. Already doesn't make sense. If the paparazzi already got pictures of you, wouldn't you just get in the fucking car? No. She calls a car, gets in it. The paparazzi follow her to Pete's apartment. She gets buzzed in. He meets her in the hallway and they take pictures through the window of them in like the little dingy New York City hallway. Wouldn't you like at least wait until you had moved inside? Or like if you were really starting to date and you didn't want people to know, why wouldn't you send somebody else out to come get you? Like there were just better ways to go about that if it was real. Also, the media didn't really buy it because there was never a story of Pete and Emily have decided not to see each other anymore. The media just dropped it because no one was talking about it. Then she moved on to Eric Andre. I don't feel mean saying this or like any of this is slut shaming because I don't think she was actually dating any of these people. So that's why I feel comfortable like listing all of these names. But Eric Andre is a comedian. I'm not familiar with him. I can guarantee you that paparazzi would not follow that man around New York City. I can guarantee you that. So how would they know that he was walking around the city with Emily? Think about that one for a second. So the two of them are photographed out. Apparently they go to a basketball game. They go to dinner. Reports say they had like gone to on some like island vacation together. I'm like, how would they know that? How would anybody know that unless Emily or Eric's team told the media? Like, how would anybody know that they went on a vacation together? So he posts a picture on Valentine's Day. He's laying on a couch. He's butt naked. He has an emoji covering himself. There's a mirror behind the couch. Emily is in the reflection of that mirror. She's the one taking the picture, and she is also butt naked. She's turned to the side, so you can't see anything. The public did not respond to that very well, so Eric Andre was dropped. And now the newest one is Harry Styles. On TikTok about 2 weeks ago, a video and a few pictures of Harry and Emily kissing in Japan went viral. It's very blurry footage. Once again, it's like, can nobody get better images here? And they are kissing up against a van outside. Again, like, look how public that is. Kissing out in the middle of the street. Like, they know people are going to see it and take videos of it. So I think that that was fake. It seems like the public is rejecting this story as well. And that will pivot us towards Mr. Harry Styles, who is always in a PR relationship, and people do not like it when I say that. So Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles allegedly dated. The crazy thing is Olivia did an interview a couple years ago where she said the best way to have publicity for a movie is to have the leads date. And then she directed the movie and starred in Don't Worry Darling, which Harry also was in. And they started dating before the movie came out. So I think maybe that helped the validity of the story, made that look a little bit more legit. But they broke up after the movie came out. Like, they're broken up now. And also, she was at a lot of his concerts. So she's smart. She's on the floor. She's dancing. And all the girlies at the Harry Styles concert have iPhones and take videos of her. So it's like, oh my God, yeah, she was at the concert. She must be so in love with him. I should probably go watch that movie that they're in. I mean, it's kind of genius if you think about it. I think all of the stuff about Jason Sudeikis, because she was allegedly cheating on him with Harry, who knows? Basically, some texts were leaked that made it look like Olivia was neglecting her husband and was already trying to get with Harry while the movie was being filmed. Why do you think we were allowed to see those? You don't think that the person who worked for them, their nanny, has signed an NDA? Why the fuck would she be allowed to leak private personal texts to the media? That's like how you get sued. We got to think critically about this. Like, it just, nothing about that story made sense. You do not get personal texts, like the personal texts of celebrities, unless you're supposed to. You don't see those for a reason. People aren't like sending screenshots into People magazine. If someone's got a legal team behind them, you're going to get sued. You know, they say like all PR is good PR. Like, people are talking. That's a good thing. Like, at least they're talking. The movie wasn't that good, but everyone was clamoring to go see it because there was so much buzz surrounding it. They had created this narrative that Olivia and Harry got together during the filming of the movie, and they're still together now, and Harry's the one that broke up her relationship with Jason. I said they were married. I don't think they were married. They do have a kid together. Anyway, I watched the movie, and it wasn't very good, and I had even heard that it wasn't very good. Didn't have a good score in Rotten Tomatoes. I still watched it. Want to know why? Because of all the PR. I had to see what all the fuss was about. Turns out, actually nothing. Actually a very slow burn, and then the entire movie wrapping up in 15 minutes and leaving a bunch of plot holes. But I had to see it for myself because Harry and Olivia were dating, allegedly, and then they broke up. And now he's allegedly with Emily Ratajkowski, who is very fond of PR relationships. Also, Harry and Taylor Swift. I've talked about this. All roads lead back to Taylor Swift. I talked about this on the Carly and Taylor episode that I did with Jacob. But you have to think about the settings in which you saw these couples together. So there's footage of them like leaving restaurants, holding hands. And then there's footage of them taking a stroll in Central Park, which I've talked about this. As someone who has lived in New York, if you want to be like private and not have people see you, you would not go to Central Park. That literally makes no sense. And that's kind of the whole concept of 1989. Like, that was one of Taylor's albums. It's like, oh, we're hiding. Like, no one knows about this relationship. It's a secret. It's a big secret. And we're hiding. And no one can see us together. And like, what are you talking about? That's obviously not about Harry then. Because you're in the middle of Central Park in the broad daylight. What? But she wore a sweater with a fox on it. So everybody was like, oh my God. The line, they are the hunters, we are the foxes, is about him. And I'm like, if you can get that out of that, fine. But give me Betty. Give me everything else. Give me Shade Never Made Anybody Less Gay. Like, you're not going to let me have any of those other lines. That's not fair. Anyway, I do love a tangent. But they were always in these very public situations. They also weren't together for very long. Like, it was like 3 months. And we allegedly got like a full album plus some other songs all about Harry. Like, she's still maybe even writing about him now. Like, are you guys on crack? That doesn't even make any sense. And also, there was an image of Taylor on a boat leaving her New Year's vacation with Harry. They were like on an island somewhere, like in the Bahamas, and she's on a boat leaving early. How the fuck do you think the paparazzi got that picture of her? On a boat in the middle of the ocean with sunglasses on. How the fuck would they have known that she was there? Unless they had been told, hey, Taylor Swift's about to take the ferry back to the mainland. Paddle out there and get a picture. Like, come on. Come on. When it's really obvious like that, like, pictures of things that we shouldn't have pictures of. We should not have a picture of Taylor leaving the alleged breakup with Harry Styles. I can't speak to any of the other people that he's been linked to. I would say that Harry agrees to these PR relationships because either A, they're mutually beneficial, he's getting something out of it, notoriety, you're linked to Taylor Swift. Maybe people stop seeing you as like the boy band guy and they start seeing you like a little bit more serious. I think it's definitely been to promote work. Don't Worry Darling is the greatest example. And I do think he's probably used them to hide stuff. I don't think his relationship with Kendall Jenner was real either, if you want me to be totally honest. I think when you're getting photographed in parking lots 24/7, you kind of wanted to be photographed. And that automatically makes me be like, huh. Also, they did a bit on the James Corden show one night, like two exes doing this like fun little game. How many people do you know that can sit across from their ex and act normal like that and funny and like joking and play a game? I mean, I guess some people can, but that's pretty uncommon, especially as you get older. I think that Hailey Bieber and Shawn Mendes were fully a PR stunt. I think that was to hide. You know what I'm saying? I think that Taylor Swift and John Mayer were fully PR. I talked about this before as well, but this is like three or four of the reasons that PR relationships happen right in this one relationship. So first and foremost, John Mayer is rebranding his bad boy image. Second of all, they have a project together. They have a song, Half of My Heart, coming out. The third reason is that Taylor was dating, in my opinion, allegedly, Taylor was dating a man named Martin Johnson. Martin Johnson was in the band Boys Like Girls. He had a drug addiction. Taylor was really young. She was like 18, 19 when they were dating. And he couldn't kick the addiction, so he had to go to rehab. So the night of the Jingle Ball in 2009, she performs Two is Better Than One with Boys Like Girls with Martin Johnson. And then Martin Johnson goes to rehab. And she never sees him again. And then she sings Half of My Heart with John Mayer. And that's the picture that started it all of like, oh my God, alleged romance between Taylor Swift and John Mayer. She also sang a duet very close, like standing very close to Martin Johnson. Why didn't that story get picked up? And they were closer in age too. So why wasn't that the story that was like picked up and ran with? Like, she sang those songs the same night. She sang both of those songs with both of those men the same night. One of them was the story that went viral. And Martin Johnson went to rehab and they didn't see each other again. And that's who Dear John is about. Martin Johnson, not John Mayer. I've already told this story. And also, I've credited, this is from Crazy Days and Nights. Like, I didn't come up with this story from my own brain. But I would even throw in a fourth reason for that PR relationship being it's mutually beneficial. They are both getting something out of that. Now, I would say if you gave John Mayer a time machine and said, do you want to go back in time and never enter a PR relationship with Taylor Swift? He would say, yes, please, because that has probably hurt his relationship with the younger audience. Like, people, I'm sorry to say this because it sounds kind of mean, but people can be really dumb. They get on TikTok, they watch a couple videos, they decide that this song is about John Mayer. We're so sad about it. They dated. We hate John Mayer. We're never going to stream his music. We hope his album flops. We're not going to go to his concert. Like, kind of wild that people react like that over a relationship that didn't even happen. But it was told to us like it did happen. And it's hurt John Mayer's career. So that's a PR stunt that backfired because that definitely didn't rebrand his image the way that he thought that that was going to. But yeah, I think all of these people have been involved in PR relationships. So bringing it back to where we started with Miss Taylor Allison Swift and Joe Alwyn, I think they entered a mutually beneficial PR relationship, offered them both many of the things. This is helping hide a lot of things. This has helped at times distract. There have been times where Taylor starts to get a little bit of bad press and immediately pictures surface of her and Joe. We don't have very many images of them together. And I think it's been very strategic of when they have given us the pictures of the two of them. I think for him, he had a lot to gain. I found an article that referred to him as Mr. Taylor Swift. Like, her career catapulted his career. Like, there's just no way around it. So maybe they did grow to care for one another. I'm sure they did become friends in all of this. 6 years is a long time to have a contract with somebody. But he wasn't at any of the concerts for the Eras tour for the first few weeks. And that was a red flag that something was up, especially if he's a songwriter in this process, right? Like, Jack Antonoff's a songwriter. He was there one of the nights. And she has unlimited resources. You could fly your alleged boyfriend in for one night, even just on a weekend. Like, you could figure that out. So I think people were starting to get curious, and that's why they announced that there's been a split. There will always be another story to talk about, right? And usually PR does release big statements like this on a Friday because you're going to forget by Monday. I think with this one, they released Saturday, which is interesting. But they did it a weekend where she didn't have a concert. She was off. She had like a 10-day break from tour. And that gives her time to not worry about her concert being overshadowed by the alleged breakup. And ultimately make this work for her. She will use this to influence her set list and what she's doing on tour. So, I mean, she's going to be fine. I was talking to my friend Caroline, who said, it's like you were watching a movie and you really loved the main couple and they break up at the end. She was like, I know it's not real, but like, it just makes you sad. And I think that's a good way to put it. And I did see a TikTok of a girl who said it's kind of comforting to know that Taylor Swift is 33 and at the height of her career, extremely successful. And she is publicly single. She's not, you know, claiming to be with anybody right now. And it is nice to see that, especially if you're a woman and you're maturing and maybe you're approaching 30 or you've already hit it. Like, a relationship doesn't define you. And maybe that's part of why Taylor put this information out now the way that she has, because that doesn't define her. Also, on my Instagram stories, I talked about the Lover House. And we do have to talk about this really quick. When she made the Lover album, her title track is called Lover, and her music video is inside a snow globe. There's a house. It became known as the Lover House. And there were different rooms that were each different colors. People kind of figured out that they represented different albums that she's done. She filled in the hallway with Folklore and Evermore, and then she released the Midnights album. The front cover of the Midnights album is her holding a lighter with a flame. Now, I posted this on my Instagram story. Another reason why you should be following me, at I Know I Sound Crazy. There are a lot of parallels between Taylor and her body of work and the movie Midsommar. I probably sound like an idiot right now. I don't watch horror movies. Basically, in the movie, Florence Pugh is covered in flowers and her lover is in this house. And, well, he's dead. Whoops, spoiler. And he's in a bear. Like, they put him inside a dead bear. That's disgusting. I'm sorry. And his face is like sticking out of the mouth, and they burn the house down. And the lover is on the outside. Florence Pugh's outside watching the house burn. Taylor's current profile picture for TikTok is her inside of a bear costume. And Carly has on multiple occasions worn full floral outfits. But then Taylor to the Grammys wore a full floral outfit when she won the Grammy for Album of the Year with Folklore. The front cover of Midnights is her with a flame. And I was saying, oh my God, is this it? is she metaphorically burning down the lover house with that flame, and that's her 10 albums. Like, that's her first 10 albums. Burning them down, her complete body of work, everything that we know about her, everything that she stood for, and is she going to come out? That's essentially been my question. Also, in the song Ivy, which is on the Folklore album, she talks about burning this house to the ground. Anyway, she's currently on tour, if you didn't know that, because like you're living under a rock or something. And quick spoiler for tour, if you're going and you didn't want to know this, but she puts the lover house up on the screen and it catches fire during one of the songs. So I'm wondering if this is her burning down like the image that we think we have of her, and if the next thing is her coming out of the closet. I don't know if she will. Who knows? We can just sit back and watch. But things are going like kind of according to plan, you guys. I mean, but what do I know? I'm just a silly little girl with a silly little podcast. But I'm right sometimes. And it seems like I might be right about this. So that is my full breakdown of PR relationships and what I think happened with Joe and Taylor. And I would love to hear from you guys and what you think is going on. Not just with Taylor Swift. I mean, obviously, I'm down to talk about Taylor all the time, but who do you think is faking it or has faked it? I would love to hear from you. And, you know, what do you think is going on with Joe and Taylor? Do you think I'm right? Do you think I could be right about her being queer? I mean, things are happening. The ball is rolling. And it does seem like people are questioning their reality every single day. Even someone just questioning the validity of PR relationships when the media is saying, yeah, 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 that's real. To me, that's a win. That's you being unwilling to believe a narrative just because it's what you're told. And I think that is what we are trying to get back to, right? Like trusting our own gut, our own intuition, trusting our own eyeballs. Like, I've got eyes. I can see what's happening. I can literally see that Carly and Taylor were kissing, but the media was like, no, they weren't. Shut up. And you're going to see this everywhere now. So I've ruined probably all celebrity relationships for you, and I'm sorry. If you want to look for real celebrity relationships, look at the ones who are never photographed. You wouldn't even know were together. So like Ava Mendez is with Ryan Gosling. They've been together like 12 years and they have a couple kids. Couldn't even tell you what their kids' names are or what they look like, which is amazing. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds post about each other on Instagram, but you don't get like random paparazzi pictures of them. Like they're seen when they want to be seen, but I think that's a real relationship. Also, Adam Brody and Leighton Meester are married. Adam Brody was Seth on The OC and Leighton Meester is Blair Waldorf. So it's like two icons from iconic early 2000s television and they're married and they have a kid and like they're not in everyone's face about it. So I think it's real. And then also Sacha Baron Cohen, who's Borat, and Isla Fisher, the one and only Confessions of a Shopaholic herself in the flesh. They've been together for over 20 years, two decades. And I think the only pictures of them that are public are the ones they've taken at red carpet events together. They have three kids. Also, Joshua Jackson, who's Pacey from Dawson's Creek, is married to Jodie Turner Smith, and they got married secretly. Like, the way that people found out they were married is he, like, said casually, my wife. Like, you can do it. It can be done. There are some real celebrity relationships. Obviously, I'm not trying to, like, hate on people, but I think when people are making out in public and they're doing it in front of a camera, it's probably a pretty good indicator that the relationship's not real. So I think we've covered some good ground here today. I hope this was educational. Hope this gave you some hope for where we're at in terms of our awakening. It's so fun that like talking about silly little PR relationships can mean so much more because it's us learning to question everything and question our reality. We should always be doing that. Question everything. All right. I love you guys. Follow me on Instagram at I Know I Sound Crazy. Also, there's a link in that bio if you would like to join my Patreon. So Patreon's gotten more episodes than you guys have so far this year. And I can't really be sorry about it because they're paying for content. So I got to give the people what they want.
Okay, thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Ashlyn Galloway, and I know I sound crazy, but I'm usually right.